Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers, sisters in Christ, I really love this text. Speaking as a pastor, as an under-shepherd of our great shepherd, as one who has been charged with the care of the souls of my congregation, and especially after the long Lenten season, after Holy Week, to the great celebration of Easter, this text speaks a gospel message to my soul. Because I'll be very honest with you, I'm tired. I'm tired. Saturday night before Easter, I thought, I'm going to go to bed early. I was in bed by 9 o'clock. I spent an hour studying through my sermon notes for the next morning. I thought, I'm going to be ready. Well, wouldn't you know, midnight, I wake up thinking about all the things that are going to happen that next morning. And by 3:30 in the morning, I finally decided it's not worth trying to go back to sleep anymore. I was at my church by 5 a.m. Sunday morning. We had our two services. We had a 7 o'clock early service, a 9:30 festival service. Because I sing with my choir, I am the tenor section with my choir. My choir is upstairs in the balcony, and we scheduled 4 songs for Easter. So that meant at least 3 times, at least I put 2 of them together. 3 times I had to leave the altar area, go to the back, up the stairs, sing the song, come back down. I thank God for my seminarians who can help me do these things. And I did that for 2 services, and then by the time Sunday afternoon got here, this pastor was ready for a nap. But since I'm not a napping guy, I just spent some quiet time reflecting on everything that had just happened. Do you think perhaps this is what Peter and the other disciples were doing as well? After all, they had been on an emotional roller coaster those previous couple of weeks. Think about the Holy Week from their perspective. Entering Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday procession, riding the crest of that Messiah wave right into the holy city. If they had had opinion polls back then, certainly they would have been in their favor. And then that week watching, as Jesus first takes on the merchants, then takes on the Jews in the temple, wondering if maybe he's just pushing it a little too hard. The disciples hearing Jesus say in his own words on that Thursday evening that one of them was going to betray him. Watching him be arrested. Hiding out in fear on that terrible Thursday night and Friday morning. And getting the word that Jesus was dead. I can't imagine the sense of loss and of fear, and of failure that these men might have had. And when all seemed to be lost and they were wondering how they're going to get out of Jerusalem with their lives, Jesus returns, alive, in the flesh. And he's not angry with them. He didn't get on them for deserting him. No, he had the same greeting that he always had. Peace be with you. Wow, that is a roller coaster week of emotions. If any group of people needed some time off to rest and reflect, It was these disciples of Jesus. Our Lord told them to go to Galilee, and there he would see them again. And what better place to get some rest than to go back home? And while you're home, do some of those things that are comfortable, that are familiar to you. So Peter and some of the rest did what they knew best. They went fishing. Now, some of you may say they had other reasons for going fishing. Perhaps, if we want to be cynical, we could say that they were running away from their call as disciples, that they were returning back to their former lives. After all, Pentecost had not yet happened, and we certainly know that their faith suffered with many doubts. Maybe they had to make some money. Some of them had families to support. They came home, maybe their wife said, "Hey, you know what? We need to make some money." Or maybe, if we want to put a positive spin on this, and in the light of the fact that we have call service here next week, maybe some of them were sharpening their skills in the event they get called to be a worker priest. You like that, huh? Whatever the reason, they were out on the lake fishing, having no luck at all. All night they worked for nothing. When morning finally breaks, they see a man on the shore. He asks them if they've caught anything. Not in a challenging manner. You know, the way sometimes guys can be when they're out fishing? No. Jesus said to them, Children, have you caught anything? No? Well, put your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll catch something. Sound familiar, Peter? Been in this position before, haven't you? Can you almost imagine the smile that must have been on Jesus' face? And of course, you know the rest of the story. Peter jumps in the lake, makes his way to Jesus on the shore. The other guys struggle to bring in their catch of those 153 fish. They get to shore and they find Jesus already has everything prepared for them. Some bread, some fish roasting over a coal fire. Mind you, not a recently lit fire, but a coal fire. One that for you and I would probably take at least an hour to tender. Jesus invites them, "Come, have breakfast." What a thoughtful, what a comforting, what a wonderful thing for someone to do for you, especially after a night's work that produced nothing but disappointment. You really have to feel for Peter and the rest. First, they failed as disciples. They denied even knowing the man that at least Peter said he would die for. Now he tries to go back to fishing, and he was bombing out at that too. But Jesus takes care of Peter, takes care of them all. He feeds them. And as we read in the next passages, he restores Peter as a disciple. Comforting words for those weary disciples. Comforting words for us today. For the job as a pastor is a tough one. Long hours, lots of demands, sharing your people's burdens. Then there's the internal struggles, the constant nagging doubts. Did I say the right thing? Could I have done better? Especially after the biggest day of the year, did I make the most out of my opportunities to proclaim the resurrection? Jesus says to all of us, come, have breakfast. Put your burden on me. Let me care for you. Our job as pastors and church workers, our job is to skillfully and carefully cast the net. But God Himself will provide the catch. That's why I love this text so much. Because it reminds us, we who proclaim the good news of Easter, that this good news is for us as well. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.